WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We have Googled any number of persons, places, and issues, but to find out more about Google itself, we invited the creators of the search engine to talk with us. Larry Page and Sergey Brin celebrated Google's fifth anniversary last month. Google is one of the most popular internet search engines, and the numbers are kind of astounding. Google receives more than 200 million search queries a day and has an index of over 3 billion web pages. If you've never done a Google computer search, here's how it works. You type in the name or keywords that you're researching, then hit a key, and in about a second, you get a listing in descending order of importance of the relevant websites. Brin and Page started Google as a research project when they were graduate students at Stanford University. When you started Google, was it just like the two of you in your office or rooms together?
When we started the company, it was pretty quickly three of us, and it was my dorm room was the office, and Larry's dorm room was the data center. He had all these computers piled up in there. Yeah, I don't think his roommate found it entertaining after the first day or so, but because they're loud and they have lots of fans and stuff. Then pretty soon we rented a garage and a couple of bedrooms from a friend of mine. So we sort of had half of her house. And we spent the early days kind of in a garage like a traditional startup.
And how many employees do you have now?
We have about 1,000 employees now, kind of all around the world.
And why do you need employees around the world?
I wonder that myself. But because, you know, when we started this company, I was always baffled by all these big corporations and how, you know, what did all those people do? But it turns out that there are many important things to do, and our employees do a wonderful job. We have many engineers who continue to innovate the technology, deploy new products, and improve old ones. We have many salespeople, which help us generate revenue. We have a lot of people who talk to our customers. Then we have a lot of employees who help take care of the other employees in various ways. So, you know, by the time you sort of add up all the corporate functions, you add up with a lot of people. But I think when you think about it, as to what impact do those 1,000 people have on the world, it's actually an amazing amount of effect per person, because we're sort of we're serving the world its information, and you know, arguably, you should be willing to devote many, many more people to doing that.
Now, do people angle for better placement? You know, everybody wants to be that first item that comes up in a Google search.
Absolutely, people try to get better placement and within Google. And part of our job is to give you, you know, the absolute best information, the most objective and honest information that we know how. And we work very, very hard to do that. And it is a little bit of a battle for us.
But I would also like to clarify, it depends on what you're searching for. I mean, if you're searching for particle accelerator, you know, findings and statistics or something like that, there's probably not going to be too many people who angled sort of for positioning for that. If you're looking for something like casinos online, for that, you know, there'll be lots of kind of people who use many different mechanisms, some kind of nefarious, some not, to try to get to the top of the search results. And at a basic level, we try to make our algorithms resilient to those kinds of things, and try to make them mathematically sound. There's always a gap. There are always situations under which a person is able to get somewhat ahead via various techniques, but we're continuously making changes.
The searches and the results in Google are done basically by computers, not by people. You don't have people deciding what the ranking is. It's these mathematical formulas that you've computerized. So that means what? That you have computers that every time you type in something in a Google search, the computer basically searches the whole internet to tell you what the right web pages are?
let me explain how that works. There are basically three stages to web search. The first stage is called crawling, and there are a bunch of computers, thousands of them, that go out and surf the web basically, much like you do, only much, much faster. They do it at thousands of pages per second. And in the process, they download all the web pages. Then there's something called indexing, where we take all those web pages and we build the equivalent of what's at the back of an encyclopedia for all those web pages, only it's quite a bit more detailed and quite a bit thicker. It's probably almost as big as the encyclopedia itself. And finally, once you have that index, this is when people's searches actually come in, then you reference things in the index and you try to decide what the best results are for any particular query.
How many searches does Google do a day?
We do hundreds of millions, more than 200. And so that's, if you work that out, that's thousands per second. So it's pretty amazing to think about that as you're, you know, going into your library and, you know, asking the librarians questions, only having thousands of questions asked per second.
Also in many, many different languages, over 90 languages all around the world.
Explain what Google means and how you came up with the name.
Well, Google actually spelled slightly differently. We had a little bit of trouble with spelling. I've never been very good at spelling. But G-O-O-G-O-L means a very large number, one followed by 100 zeros. And basically, we were looking around at large numbers and thought that it would be fun to use something really large because we wanted to index, you know, all the information in the world, and happened upon Google and thought it sounded cool. And we were able to get the domain name, which even at the time, 1998 or so, was quite a difficult thing.
When you started working on Google, before you actually became a company, how did you get the word out that this new search engine existed?
Well, I think that's the amazing thing about the internet is that it is a very efficient method of distribution, and Google is even part of that. But we told a few of our friends and our professors and actually a few people at a conference, and more people just started using it, and they told their friends and so on. And it grew virally, really by itself. And I think for something as important as search, where Sergey just mentioned, you know, you do it all the time. You search for all sorts of things very often. You want to tell your friends when you find, you know, this great new service that works better for you.
And at what point did you decide this should be a business?
I think at some point the search kept growing, and we had more and more users come in every day. And we were kept running out of compute power. We didn't really have enough computers. We had sort of a handful. And in fact, we'd go down to the loading dock in the computer science building and sort of borrow the ones that were sitting there before, you know, the people who had really gotten them on their grants, like, got around to it. But eventually that became kind of unscalable. And we decided we could get better resources if we started a company. Though it was about, you know, a 3-year path till we came to that decision. And finally, we decided that we could. So we went out and we bought a whole bunch of disks on our credit cards, and then we were committed. And so after that, we raised the money and started a proper company. And here we are today.
My guests are Larry Page and Sergey Brin, the founders of Google. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests Larry Page and Sergey Brin are the founders of the internet search engine Google. Google is used around the world, but are there some countries in which the government can screen the results, screen and censor the results of a Google search?
There are to a certain extent, like the United States, for example, but only in a very limited way. So we do comply with
Where did you say
laws.
The United States?
Yeah. Yeah, in the United States. So, for example, the United States has the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And so there's a mechanism by which sort of copyright holders can object to what they view as copyright violations being listed. And so as a result of that, there are But there are probably like, you know, a handful of sites or, you know, I don't know, maybe 100 web pages that are blocked for that reason. And what we do in that situation is there's a message at the bottom of your search results that says there are, you know, omitted results for this reason because there was this DMCA complaint and so forth. And then there's a site that you can click to and it will explain the issues in that particular complaint and so forth. In other countries, like in France and Germany, there are some rules against Nazi sites. And so there's, once again, a very small number, a handful of sites that are blocked. There are other countries that have sort of entire filtering technologies on the internet as a whole, as in sort of all the access points to the internet for a country are proxied. And at those points, the country can block certain sites. Probably the most famous case for us, we were for a period of a number of days blocked from China. But for the most part, in most countries, you know, you see 99.999% of what's in there.
You were completely blocked in China?
You know, it's always murky because you can't really tell. Mm-hmm. But we were largely blocked. We could tell that for, I think, on the order of 10 days. And I think there was a lot of sort of popular protest because it is a very useful tool for doing all kinds of things, you know, whether it's scientific development, education, business. And so eventually we were unblocked.
We should say that Google we want to provide information to people. That's what we do. And so we try to err on that side whenever we can. And I think this will be a very interesting issue for the world going forward.
Now, anyone who's used Google knows that when you type in the word, the keyword that you're looking for, the keywords, that you can either click on the Google search or the I'm feeling lucky search. What is the I'm feeling lucky option?
Well, unfortunately, I created that option, and people like it, so we haven't been able to eliminate it yet. But the idea was when we created Google that it was going to be so accurate that you didn't actually need to look at the search results. You could just look at the first result directly. And that obviously didn't quite work. So you had to feel pretty lucky in order to think that that was going to work. And so, you know, it gives you the first search result without showing you the 10 results. And, you know, for some things like if you enter Stanford University, you know, it will work. You can hit I'm feeling lucky and you'll go right to the homepage.
Why would somebody choose that over just the full search?
Well, if you're particularly confident, then it saves you a step of clicking, which is kind of nice. For other people, it's kind of a fun thing to do. But you wouldn't normally use it.
How often do you Google yourself?
You know, actually, I have we have this news alert service now where you can sign up to get emails on any topic you want. And I have one running for myself.
Oh, and, how are you doing?
You know, every day I get a few things, and so which is pretty interesting to me, though I don't always have time to read all of them. But so it's sort of automatically Googling me all the time.
Oh, my name is probably a little bit more unique, so I can. So it's in fact an easier query, and I don't tend to get spurious matches because my last name is Bryn, whereas Larry is Page, which, as you can imagine, occurs on the web many times.
So do you Google yourself a lot?
I usually search for myself when I'm trying out a new search technology. Like if we've implemented a new ranking algorithm, then I'll try it because I'm familiar with the results.
Now, I'll tell you, in preparing for this, I decided, let me Google Google. So I typed in Google into the Google search, and I came up with a lot of Google things in the regular search. But in the Are You Feeling Lucky search, I got nothing.
Well, you just got Google itself.
Yeah, it got Google itself. Oh, I see. Google was giving me itself.
Yeah.
Oh.
In computer science, we call that recursion.
Oh, you even have a name for it. I didn't quite get that. I kept thinking, oh, it's just repeating itself. I didn't realize it was giving me itself. And what's the name for it?
Recursion. It's kind of, Sergey's giving me a dirty look.
Why?
It's a loose definition.
Lighten up, Sergey.
It's a loose interpretation of the hard recursion.
Sergey, what's the more literal interpretation?
The technical term is you got itself back.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. There's not really much beyond that.
Okay.
Idempotence. How about that?
Say it again?
Idempotence.
What is that?
That's when you... maybe I should stop while I'm ahead.
You're just making this up, aren't you?
Before I dig a deeper hole. Idempotence is when you do something and you get the original thing back.
Oh, so that's a real word?
It's a mathematical term.
Yeah. But it's also just as loose as interpretation as Larry's was of recursion.
Do you guys ever feel like the stars of Revenge of the Nerds or something? Because obviously, like, you know what I mean? Like, you live in this world of, like, algorithms and arcane language and words and mathematical things that a lot of people who aren't in that world like to just think of nerd, you know? And, like, now you have this, like, incredibly successful creation and business, and I'm sure you're really hot stuff and everything. You know what I'm saying.
Well, I'd hope we can serve as a positive example for people of kind of the power of science and technology.
Mm-hmm.
And, for me, I guess my dad was a computer science professor, and I grew up with computers sort of from age 6, which was unusual at that time. I just felt really lucky to have access to all that. And
yeah.
I guess I had sort of an innate feeling that there was a lot you could do with these things, and it would really change the world and be important. And I'm always amazed that there aren't more people who work on technology and science and ways of changing the world in that way, because I think that's the easiest way to change the world.
I want to thank you both so much for talking with us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
Larry Page and Sergey Brin are the founders of Google.